Good morning. It is good to see everybody here with us. I see that we have a number of visitors. I'd like to welcome you to our services. And those of you that are visiting with us, we're presently in search of an evangelist to come work with us. And part of the lesson this morning will be dealing with that very issue. So really for members here, but it's for everybody, talking about what we need to be and what we are as a church. So with that, let's go ahead and get into our lesson. Talking about Jesus, writing a letter to the seven churches in Asia. Revelation, the whole book of Revelation. We're going to talk in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 this morning. So if you'd like to open your Bibles to that, we'll be reading out of that. Just a little bit of background. There were more churches in the Asia area, but we see that the... That is up there, isn't it? Yeah, good. I got to check. But we see that Jesus addresses this letter to, through John to these seven churches. So we're going to go through these seven churches and kind of hit some different things. Some negatives that they might have, positives that they might have, some actions that they needed to take in order to correct some of the things that they were doing or to keep themselves faithful, and some consequences. And then we'll make application to ourselves as we go through. So in Revelation chapter 2, starting off with the first church that's talked to, the church at Ephesus. In Revelation 2, verses 1 through 7, let's go ahead and read that. It says, "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men, and that you put to test those who call themselves apostles and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds that you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and I will remove your lampstand out of the place unless you repent. Yet this you do have, you have a hate for the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." So first off, to this first church, the church at Ephesus, a couple things we need to take notice of. As he goes on to say in verse 2, it says, I know your deeds. The Lord knows our deeds. He knows our every thought, our intentions, everything that we think about. God knows that. We're going to see that throughout these churches, that God knows what's in our heart. He knows our deeds. Don't think that we can fool him. Jesus says here, I know your deeds. So there's a few things on positive. He knows their, as it says there, their toil and perseverance. And they cannot endure evil men, and they put to test those who call themselves apostles. So good things. Good things he's talking about. Their toil, their perseverance, cannot endure those evil men. He goes on to say, let me also hit one other. Also in verse 6, that they hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitans were, there's a little bit of speculation on that, but they taught a number of different things. It's believed that Nicolaitans actually kind of evolved into the Gnostics. The idea that the Nicolaitans taught everything from immorality, sexual immorality that was okay, to encouraging within the worship, actively sacrificing to idols. So we can see where here's a good thing about that church in Ephesus, that they hated those deeds of the Nicolaitans as the Lord does also. And it goes on in verse 3, coming back to verse 3, their perseverance. And they endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But what? Here's the negative. But this I have against you, you've left your first love. Even though they had deeds, God saw that. He knew their deeds. He understood where they were at. He understood that they were doing some good things. But, verse 4, you've left your first love. So what were they to do? In verse 5, it says they were to remember, therefore, from where they have fallen. Remember where you were and repent. So I think we can all say that when we first became Christians, we were very much on fire for God. Is that zeal, is that fervor still in us? The Lord's telling this church now to go back to that, to remember that, to repent, to do the deeds they did at first. And then we get to the consequences. What does he say? Or else I'm coming to you and remove your lampstand. That's what God's going to do. You have a choice. They had to repent. They had to repent. What about our next church? The church at Smyrna, starting in verse 8. Interesting. Church of Smyrna, all things were good that's talked about here. In verse 8 it says, and to the angel church of Smyrna write, the first and the last, who was dead and who has come to life, says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the blasphemy of by those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. So here that church at Smyrna, as it says, that they were in tribulation, they were impoverished, but they were rich. They might have been physically in poverty, but they were rich, is what it says. Right? They didn't tolerate the blasphemes of the Jews, who said that they were Jews and they were not. But he goes on to say, so what were they to do? There was nothing to be corrected, but what were they to do? Coming on down, they were to not fear. It says, do not fear, but be faithful unto death. And what is the consequence of that? That they would have a crown of life. So that's what this church at Smyrna is looking forward to. A good church, nothing negative spoken about them. And it's pretty commonly believed that all these seven churches kind of represent any church. So think about that as we go through this. How do we fit into this? Going on to the next. To Pergamum. What does it say about Pergamum? Starting in verse 12. And to the angel of the church of Pergamum write, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who keep teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of immorality. Thus you also have some who in the same way hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent therefore, or else I am coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna. I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. So here to the church of Pergamum. What was it with them? They held fast to his name. They held fast to Jesus' name. They did not deny the faith. But Jesus had a few things against them. They had some there teaching the ways of Balaam and the ways of Balak, very similar to the Nicolaitans. We can go back to that. We can go back to the greediness of Balak and the magician, that part, and the false teachers. In 2 Peter 2, verse 15, it puts together that teaching of Balaam with false teachers. So this congregation was accepting people teaching false things in their midst and practicing those things. Immorality, creating stumbling blocks, eating things, like I said earlier, eating things that were sacrificed to idols, bringing that into their worship service. They tolerated that. They didn't stand for the truth on that. They tolerated the teachers of the Nicolaitans. So what were they to do? As we see in verse 16, it says, "Repent, therefore, or else," here's the consequence, "I'm coming to you quickly. I'll make war against them with the sword of my mouth." Is that what you want? Or are you going to overcome and see, as it says, you get the hidden man, or the, give him a white stone, a new name written on that stone? That's the choices that they had. On to our next church, the Church of Thyatira. Church of Thyatira, starting in verse 18. It says, "To the angel of the Church of Thyatira, the Son of God, who has eyes like flame of fire and his feet as burning bronze, says this, 'I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent for her immorality. Behold, I will cast her upon the bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless you repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one according to his own deeds. But I say to you and the rest who are there in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he shall rule over them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a porter are broken to pieces. And I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So what about this church in Thyatira? As it says once again, "I know your deeds," in verse 18, "of your love and your faith and your service and your perseverance, and your deeds of late are greater than at first." So there was growth within that church. Their deeds of late are greater. They've increased in those deeds. They've grown. But what? "But I have this against you, that tolerate Jezebel, a prophetess that encourages adultery, encourages immorality, encourages the same thing as the Nicolaitans, the eating of things that have been sacrificed within worship. All those kind of things, they tolerate her. What are they to do? Repent. Change. And it seems like there were some there, as it says, there were those who were clean who hold fast until I come. So there were some there that weren't following that, but there are others that were. But the church as a whole needed to repent. They needed to keep Jesus' deeds until the end. And the consequences of that would be that they would have authority over all nations, that they would see that morning star. So those are the blessings that they would get if they would do that. And on to our next. To Sardis, chapter 3, starting in verse 1. "To the angel of the church of Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds and you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, and I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of God. Remember therefore what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. If therefore you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I come to you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So once again to the church of Sardis, what does he say? I know your deeds. God knows what we're thinking, knows what we're doing. He knows that. It says that they had a name, that they were alive, but they're dead. He had not found that his deeds were complete in their actions. So what did they need to do? Since they were dead, he says, wake up, become alive. Wake up, strengthen yourself. You're about to die, change that. And if you would, what would the consequences be? Well, if you don't, he'll come like a thief. If you do, you'll have those white garments. You'll be in that book of life. Jesus will confess us before our Father. But there were a few there who had not soiled their garments. So there were some that were doing okay, but others who weren't within that church. And to Philadelphia, coming down in verse 7 of our text, to the church at Philadelphia, notice as we go through this, it's all good. It's all good. The church in Philadelphia was doing good. To the angel church in Philadelphia write, he who is holy, he who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put you an open door, which no one can shut, because you have little power and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them to come and bow down at your feet to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have in order that no one take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of God, and he will not go out from it anymore, and I will write upon him the name of God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and a new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So this church in Philadelphia, all good, but once again, he knows their deeds. They've kept his word. They haven't denied Jesus' name. They kept the word of Jesus' perseverance. What were they to do? To hold fast to that, what they have. And the consequences, there was going to be an open door, that they were going to be kept from the hour of testing. It seemed like the Lord was going to protect them in that, that they would be in the pillar of the temple, and they would have their name written in the name of God, in the city of God. Different things for their actions. And to our last, to the church at Laodicea, in Revelation chapter 3. Once again, notice, a little interesting point, nothing good is talked about in the church of Laodicea. To the angel of the church at Laodicea write, in verse 14, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation, God of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. But because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich and white garments, that you may clothe yourself, and that the share of your nakedness, the shame of your nakedness, may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I come in to him, and he will dine with me, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So this church at Laodicea, nothing good. They were lukewarm. It's interesting that God says that he would rather them be hot or cold. God would rather us not claim his name at all if we're going to be lukewarm. But he says because of that, he will spit him out of his mouth. Interesting word study. That spit means to vomit. So if you take something into your body and your body can't take it, it rejects it. And that's what the Christians will have in this church at Laodicea. So what is the action? They were to buy from God that gold, that refined gold, to be zealous and repent so that they don't get spit out of the mouth of God, so they could have those white garments and have no shame. So how does that all apply to us? What if Jesus wrote an epistle to the church in Sparks? What would he have to say? What if this would be the case? 1 Sparks chapter 1. What would it say? I know one thing it'll say. Do you? I know your deeds. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, and let's just turn to that. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. It says, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Christ Jesus is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? We are to test ourselves. Have you ever written yourself an epistle? I think those of us that have been here for a long time, I remember years ago we were given that assignment in a class. Great assignment. Write yourself a letter as if from God. Be honest. Keep it somewhere where nobody can see it and bring it up later. But what about us? What kind of a church do we have here in Sparks? The Lord knows our deeds. When we talk about evangelism and bringing people to the Lord, are we bringing them to a church that is like a Laodicea? I sure hope not. Are we bringing them to a church that is all good? I don't think so. Maybe a little bit of both. What about new members when people place membership? We had that happen last week and today. What are we bringing people to? What do we have to offer? This whole lesson kind of came about. Mike has a way of changing my lessons every week. In one of our discussions about we're in the process of interviewing different individuals to come here and work with us as an evangelist. Done that before, but for some reason, this time it's different. because we've been asked so many questions that, you know, about this group. So what would it look like? What would that letter say if the Lord was to write a letter to the church in Sparks? How's our spirituality? You guys are spiritually minded. You're involved in the VBS, in the ladies' seminar coming up. A lot of involvement in the church. So there'd be positives that we can see. Do you think those might be added into that? That you're a friendly group and you love one another and you care for one another and you do things for one another. I know your deeds. That you speak the truth in love. Sometimes that's hard, but we need to speak the truth in love. Sometimes that's very difficult. Or it might be that we don't tolerate false teachers or false teaching. That we all, as a group, strive to make sure that what's taught and practiced is according to the will of God. Are we perfect in that? No. Are we willing to change if somebody shows us that we need to change out of Scripture? Absolutely. That we have many Bible classes, many opportunities to study God's Word. Not only here at the building, but outside. Outside in people's homes, other places. But do you think you would have a negative? Do you think you would have some negatives? This really came up through talking to different evangelists. When I'm talking to different evangelists and they ask me questions about the congregation, some of them I'm very excited to answer. Some of them are difficult. You have a goal this year of sharing our faith. Are we practicing that? This last week we had two classes on the big picture of the Bible, one a ladies' class on Friday, another a class in the young blood's home on Tuesday night. Between the two classes, we had less than 15 members. Is that a negative or a positive? I see that as a negative. It's our goal, that's what we're all trying to strive to do this year. And we have 120 or so in attendance on Sunday, and 15 or less show up at two opportunities for classes. Are we lukewarm? Are we on fire for God? Are we hot for God? Or are we lukewarm? I think, sadly, I've said so many times, and I'm reminded so many times, how society, specifically, Satan tries to get in the door. And we allow him to. In our society now, there's a lot of different religious bodies that won't take any stances against sin. They become lukewarm. Are we that way? Have we allowed that to get into this church, the church in Sparks? Do we support and help the shepherds and the deacons in the work that they're doing? I think that could be positive, and I think that could be negative. Speaking as a shepherd for this congregation, there are some things that have happened that I'm amazed. I'm amazed some things were said about Mike and I that just simply were not true. And I'm amazed that I don't even know who said that, that they haven't come to us and asked us for forgiveness. Do we support the deacons in the work that they're doing? And there's so many ways that you can. You know, certain ones are doing certain things. Craig is working on the outside stuff, and Dave, and Des, and all the stuff that they do. Are we letting him know, letting Des know if we can be here at services so we can get the service roster figured out correctly? Are we helping them with that? Are we teaching our kids? The kids are the next church. Are we teaching them where to do what? To raise our kids and nurture in the admonition of the Lord. Are we doing that? We have changed our whole focus in our classes. I think it's working, but I think it needs a lot of help. We need to raise our kids to be strong, faithful Christians, because they're the church in the future. We had one individual that we talked to, and he asked us about attendance. His comment was something to the effect that between Sunday morning and Sunday night, there's really no drop-off in the congregation where he worships. In this congregation, you can take half of this group, everybody sitting on this side, and say they won't be here tonight. Look at last week. We had 100 in attendance in the morning and 45 in the evening. I think the Lord will address that. Sure, there's some of us that cannot be here in the evening. But when I talk to an individual and I'm trying to build up this congregation, and he tells me that in his congregation there's virtually no drop-off, and I have to say 50%. Are we ready to have an evangelist? Quite a few of our conversations have been questions asked about modesty, an issue that we deal with, an issue that once again, I think the world, you know, society has got a problem with it. It comes right into the church. Do I feel good about answering those questions? No. I think sometimes our modesty is something that Jesus would speak to us about. About mixed swimming. We get these questions all the time. You can ask Mike. He's shaking his head right now. We're talking to evangelists and they're asking us, what does your congregation feel about mixed swimming? What do they feel about modesty? What about a woman's role within the church? I think we do good here. But there's many things. Where are we? Where are we as a congregation? And if we have these negatives that I think we can all say that the Lord would address in his writing a letter to us if he was to do that, when are we going to repent? I think it needs to happen right now. We need to look at ourselves. We need to examine ourselves, see where our problems are, and whatever they are, whether they be congregational or whether they be individual. I need to always examine myself to see if I'm in the faith. I need to look at the things in my life that I need to correct. I also need to look at the things in the congregation that I can encourage so that they can be corrected. I think that's one of Mike and I's duties and obligations. But we need help. We all need to look at ourselves and say, what would Jesus do? He knows our deeds. What would we do? Going back to our text in Revelation chapter 3, notice I know we're not really talking about non-Christians this morning, we're talking about those who are within the church. But notice what it says in Revelation chapter 2, right after he says in verse 4, talking to the church at Ephesus, that they've left their first love. And what does he tell them to do? To remember, therefore, from where they have fallen. We need to realize where we're at. And even as a non-Christian, I need to realize where I'm at. That because of my sins, I have a separation from God. And I know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. So what do I need to do? Notice what he says, and repent. and do the deed you did at first, or else I am coming to you and remove your lampstand out of this place unless you repent. Every one of us, myself first included, needs to repent. I need to look at my life, look at where those negatives are in my life that obviously Jesus would address in my life, and I need to repent. I need to change. We need to change as a group. Those areas that we're falling short in, we need to change. Those areas that we're doing good in, we need to excel still more. As we read in Thessalonians about love, have it excel still more. There's so much that we can do. And I think there's so many more better things that we can do. We can improve upon things. For one, I hate to say it this way, so that we can look good for an evangelist coming to work with us. But that's not the point. It's that we're right in the eyes of the Lord. And if we're right in the eyes of the Lord, we're going to look good. People are going to look at us just like has happened and want to place membership here. An evangelist is going to come here and would want to come work alongside of us and help us towards our goals. But it takes you and I working individually and therefore collectively that we all do that together. So where are you? Are you a non-Christian? We can make some application here that you need to repent. Or are you a Christian and you need to repent? We could probably all come forward in that. Hopefully the lesson this morning was not too negative, but we felt that it needed to be preached. We need to realize that we need to look at ourselves before we start looking to invite an evangelist to come work with us. We got some things, we got to clean our own house a little bit first. So I encourage you to contemplate those things. Change those things that are wrong in your life and excel in those things that you're doing good. Please think about that. Please think about those seven churches in Asia. And Jesus knew their deeds. He knew exactly where they were at. If you're in need of the invitation in any way, I invite you to come as we stand and sing.